Now it's time for our message. Message today is entitled The Interdependent Web, and it will be delivered by Reverend Elizabeth Price.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be back with you today. I missed you. Thank you. So this morning, I have been contemplating the interdependent web of life for quite a while. So I thought, well, I'll come here for that because it's principle number 7. So, and we hear about it every time we gather, the interdependent web of life. I wanted to think about it in terms of theology. And theology is a sticky topic to discuss, especially here, because we hold our theologies very sacred, very close to our hearts, our chests. This is the private part of our lives. So what's public is our service, is we talk about our values, we talk about the principles we live by. And so we come together around our values and principles, and we put them in action. So I want to talk about the more private one, you know, the thing that you can't talk about at dinner gatherings or anytime you're with your family, because we all have such different beliefs that we get into fights, and it can get pretty fiery, pretty rocky, when we start talking about these very private, sacred, held beliefs. So here we are. We're going to try to talk about it. It might seem challenging, daunting, overwhelming even, to think about our theologies, how we've come from all different places. Some of us wounded in other churches and faith groups. Some of us born into the UU our whole lives. Some of us visit the UU and the UCC, that would be me, kind of playing with beliefs and theologies. And the things that I hold dear and you hold dear have, we each have similarities, so we're gathered here, but very different too. So I want to do the both and place, the gray area. And now it's been 10 years ago, I had a student in my CPE program who was a Wiccan high priestess, who had realized that she wanted a little bit more structure and mainline belief system, so she was shifting to the UU, and she loved principle number 7, and so her name was Valerie. She's not anywhere around here. You won't know her. So Valerie, it came time in the program that we presented our theology of suffering. So she said to me, I don't have a theology, I'm Wiccan. These two things don't go together for me. And I said, well, what do you hold sacred? What is most valuable to you? What can you speak to that might be considered a theology? And she said, the interdependent web of life is my theology. And so I said, well, let's go with that. How does the web get created? So she went away and she came back with a theology of the spider. So go with me on this, that the creator of all there is a weaver. And some of you are weavers here. Some of you sew. Some of you make beautiful art. I'm looking at you. Some of you do this weaving. And so you are the image of God for this student that I had. So the theory is the watchmaker theory. You all familiar with this, that Only one person on the planet walking around and finds a watch. And then realized if there is a watch, there is a watchmaker. So my theory, my theology is if there is a web, there is a spider. So co-creating with the spider as the sacred symbol, with my student, we had some great discussions about this. So we are weaving the web together with the sacred spider. So one of the things about spider webs is that they are fragile, but yet always there, and they're strong in their fragility. When the spider web is broken, the spider repairs it right away or builds a new one in its place. I learned that females weave those intricate webs. They are weaved because she's hunting food. And so she's a hunter. So God is, I'll call it God, is a hunter, hunting us, not for food, but to be with us, to be a home for us. Because the web is home for the spider, and that's where she has her babies. And that's where she nurtures her babies. So babies, spider babies, sometimes leave the web early. How many people left the web early in your lives? Yes. You got to get out sometimes. You just got to go. But some of the babies hang on for a whole year. So hanging on for a year, that enables them to grow stronger, that they learn to weave the web, they learn to hunt themselves, and when they leave, they sort of balloon away on a silky thread in the wind. I love that image, ballooning away when they're ready to let go. So we are on the interdependent web as well. We are not just the spider creating it, but we are also captured by our mother spider, who is sacred and nurtures us through very difficult times. And I would say we are in some difficult times, and we're in for some more difficult times. I heard recently it said that the United States is on fire. Well, that was shocking to me because I hadn't thought of it that way. But we are. The United States is on fire, metaphorically. But also, there are wildfires burning almost all the time. So the United States is on fire. Canada, too. Places all around the globe, because we are in a very difficult ecological state. Our environment is threatened by global warming, climate change, pollution, the pollution that might continue to develop that we don't have really resources to address. All of us have different beliefs. So the United States is on fire. Shocking. It shocked me. So what can we do as part of this interdependent web when we see our brothers and sisters on fire in their environments, when we see the creation is going awry? That's something to think about. We all have diverse religious beliefs, and sometimes those religious beliefs are devalued or defamed. Just in the last few days, the Hindu temple in Greenwood was vandalized. Their sign was destroyed or really covered up with graffiti. They have been continual targets for vandals. In June, Beaver Creek United Church in Oregon had its stained glass window smashed. And a church in California was also repeatedly targeted in July with windows broken, paint splattered all over the walls and the outside. And the leaders of those churches believed it was their progressive Christianity and their stance welcoming LGBTQ plus individuals motivated that vandalism. So the United States is burning, religious houses of worship are being vandalized. Racism is generally accepted today by many of our fellow Americans. We saw a small neo-Nazi group march around the Capitol recently, around the State House. The Latinx Fiesta has been canceled next week because of fear of safety of that community. And some folks are self-deporting, going back to their countries of origin because they left something like this behind. So instead of being imprisoned and deported, they're leaving. Many are heeding the call to get out and engage in expressions of positive regard for multiracial, multi-faith communities with many theologies and beliefs that we hold that can strengthen the well-being of all of those living in the greater Indianapolis area, our state, our country. Those of us who are able can get out and participate in different expressions that take a stand for beliefs. We can express our beliefs of inclusion and care for those who fall into financial gaps, redrawing the map of the voting map and Stop the Hate rallies are coming up. But when any part of the web is threatened, the whole web is threatened. When one group threatens violence to another, that tears the web. It threatens the integrity of the whole web. Fear can ramp up reactions and the drive to protect and defend at any cost. What we do with that fear is up to us. It's up to each group. You and I see what is happening around us. Rather than react, we can purposely respond, and that is powerful. So where does it start? I think it starts with within our families. In family systems theory, when one pushes, the other pulls away. So we can see a push-pull dynamic in our country, within our groups, among religious groups. It's natural when one group pushes that we step back. Progressives have been criticized for this stepping back. It doesn't always help. In fact, sometimes it hurts. How can we stay engaged when it's so tempting to step back? There are people who are not able to get out and do things. I think the greatest kind of pushback, I'll say, is standing for beliefs built on your theology. Standing for your beliefs, standing for your convictions. Holding a meeting like this, we are gathered here today and facing what could be repercussions for being here. I don't know if you think about it like that. I hope not always, but the UU could be a target for some of these folks. So you here today is kind of a stand-up protest that we will not give in to fear, and we will still gather, and we will still learn, and we will still grow, and we will still express our spirituality. We will still come together. In our families, I think what's so hard sometimes is when we're not on the same page. When we're not on the same page, then we are like driving the bus with a flat tire. Things just don't work out. We're missing each other, and tempers can flare. I don't know if this happens at your house. It certainly does at mine. And it happens in our extended family. Oh, I thought you were bringing the potato salad. No, you are always supposed to bring the potato salad. Well, somebody said they were bringing. Big fights, lots of reactions. I don't know. So it's easy to be reactive. I'm just an easy one. We have such a mixture of beliefs in my family that I'm out there, way out there, when I think about the Creator is a spider. Just way out there, right? I mean, how a lot of people have, you know, a man on a throne or some sort of wind blowing and natural elements creating this beautiful planet of ours, but a spider. And a lot of people are afraid of spiders. But, you know, creation and being creative can be scary sometimes when you step out and take the risk. That web that she weaves is strong and flexible, yet vulnerable. So I would like to say that that is true of this community. Strong, flexible, and also vulnerable. When we have our discussion later, I want to hear about it. What is strong about here? And what makes this congregation vulnerable? Dorothea Serla, German feminist theologian, wrote a book called Strength and Vulnerability. And the premise is when we are open, when we're here with open hearts and minds, when we don't have to hold on to our beliefs to say that my theology is correct, you have to believe in the Creator spider in order to be here today. That is not strength. That's being a bully. What is true strength is if we ask each other questions, if we enter a dialogue not knowing the answer. I might have an answer for myself, but when I can open my heart and mind to you, how did you come to believe this? What is it about that that is helpful to you, that serves you well, that helps you connect with people, if that is a value you hold? Strength is being vulnerable so that if I feel sad, I can shed a tear. If I feel happy, I can laugh and smile. If I'm angry, I can express my anger in words very directly to you, the person I'm angry with. That's strength. It's risk. We take the risk because we care. And we care because we love. The silky web is flexible. It moves with the wind, not against it. It's vulnerable, so needs constant repair and tending. Many hands make the work light. When one part of the web breaks or wobbles, the whole web is threatened or weakened. The weaver of this spirit of life in the principles is the ground of all being, the oneness of all existence, the community forming power, the process of life. So this web is invisible, but it gives us energy. It gives us motivation, and it asks us the question, what do I have to contribute to this creative process? Every role is important, no matter how small or how big. You know when you're giving your time and talents to something worthwhile, when you connect, when you feel that spark, that creativity. And how often do we feel that when we're gathered here? So what is your theology? And what can you share of it? Is God a spider or something else? That's my question. Yes and no. You can answer that or do something else, but I'll leave you with the question.
Well, as you were speaking, I'm looking around the room. I have a history of being the one of the people who would clean the building. I'm looking around the room, and over in that corner is a very big spider web.
Ooh.
And I was noticing it prior to you bringing up the topic of spiders weaving. And
well, she's here.
Yes, she is. And as you are speaking about the spider web, I had been thinking, as the cleaner, that I needed to go over there and wipe that spider web away because it's not appropriate to have, you know, in a clean building, have spiders and whatnot. And then I was thinking, I can't wipe that away. And so I am feeling very conflicted about what I should be doing about such things.
Yes.
I walk in the woods with my dog, and it's usually in the morning, and there are webs strung across the pathway. And as I'm walking, I can feel the webs on my face pulling the spider webs away.
Oh, my.
So there was that flexibility. It just, those were thoughts that were passing through my mind while you were speaking.
Thank you for sharing that. I get that. They're so intricate, beautiful, and sometimes right in the way. And why did you build it here? Maybe it was to get my attention. You know, so in speaking spiritually, when something gets in my face like that, I have to stop and think, what is the universe telling me? And I don't know what the universe is telling you, but Halloween is coming. Yes, natural decoration. So, but listen to what that is. What is the universe telling you when you have a surprise like that or have a conundrum about that?
I don't pay much attention oftentimes to what's on the web, on the internet.
Yeah.
But yesterday I read that the hummingbird, which is one of our favorite little birds, makes her nest out of spider webs. And because spider webs are flexible, the nest, which starts out about as big around as a quarter, expands as the babies grow and then launches them into the world. And I just think that's kind of like our church.
Mm-hmm.
It expands as we grow. And then we launch people out into the world, hopefully, to help.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I really love that, Eileen. I was thinking when you, Reverend Price, when you had said, like, what's our strength and vulnerability, my very first thought when you said that was our size. It is both a very important strength and a vulnerability for so many reasons. Like, I could do the pros and cons on both of those. Mm-hmm. But I love that way of thinking of Eileen, that, you know, we're here and to help you in what way possible. We might launch people in the world or, yeah. We have to lean into both the strength and vulnerability of it.
One of my favorite sculptures is the Weeping Buddha. I don't know if you're familiar with it. So this very muscular Buddha. And there's a whole story about him. But I have him in my office because he's just so strong and so powerful. If he were to stand up, he would be, you know, like a welterweight, a big guy, and he's crying. And it just to have that ability to be so strong yet so full of empathy, that when the story's about him is he's crying for the world, for all that we're going through, and well, gosh, that was a long time ago that he was crying for the world. Yeah, so strength and vulnerability go together. Speaking of Buddha.
Speaking of the spider web and analogizing or metaphor, using as a metaphor for the church, I think the strands in the church are our emotional connections to one another. And the stronger those are, the more it holds us all together. Mm. And probably at least 2/3 of the people in the church have heard me rant about how important coffee hour is, because that's where we really connect with each other, and yep. That's where we build these webs that hold us together and make us into a strong community.
And that's where we get energy through caffeine.
Oh man, I already had a thought, and then I have thoughts related to and building on everything that everyone said, so I'll try not to talk too long, but I haven't been here in 3 weeks, so bear with me.
Saved up.
Yeah. Y'all had a break, now I'm back. Eileen, you mentioned the web of the internet, and that's just a whole other conversation that is just probably something that we'll have to have a whole service about at some point. I don't believe I've met the lady who was talking about the spider web that you need to clean. What's your name?
Faye.
I did know that. As somebody who has OCD, I fully understand your desire to clean that, but I learned many years ago that most spiders are mostly harmless to humans, and they're also the things that eat the bad bugs. So if I see a spider in my house, if I see a spider web, I just don't even bother it, because I know that they're keeping like the mosquitoes and roaches out. So just rest assured that you're not allowing the place to be dirty. You're actually allowing it to be cleaner.
After today, she is staying.
and I won't expound on all of my other thoughts. I'll just say what I originally thought about. And I was actually looking this up while you were speaking to make sure that it's an actual like theory and not a hypothesis. But there actually is a page on NASA that will show like the models that we have of it. The universe is a web that interconnects all galaxies and feeds them, and it's made up of gases and dark matter, which we're actually like, dark matter and antimatter, we're actually like finding a lot more evidence and kind of like zeroing in on what exactly these things are and what they do. And one of the things that they do is literally form the universe, and we've seen the evidence of this intergalactic web feed stars and feed galaxies, and this is how the universe has propagated itself. And so my faith journey has been in tandem with my study and understanding of science, and that's kind of before I even knew about Unitarian Universalism, I came to the conclusion that basically that the spider and the web are one and the same,
and that the universe and all of reality and matter is a part of God, which perpetuates itself. And mm-hmm. I kind of believe that after several trillion years or however long the heat death of the universe takes, everything will expand so much that it'll all collapse in on itself and then be reborn. And that's the cycle of God. I could be totally wrong about that, but it ultimately doesn't matter as long as I am pursuing what you said, the web of connections with people, and pursuing God in that. And that is also part of God. And to us, on the human scale, not on the cosmic scale, but the most important part of God, because that's the part that we can experience and understand. And all of this other stuff is just like philosophy, basically. But I just think that's fascinating.
That is so true. And when I read theories and things, I think, so what does that have to do with me? And you put that really well. As long as I'm making these connections, then I am participating as a co-creator. And that's part of it. The energy moves us toward connection. The energy moves us toward emotion and addressing the issues. I think it, and something I left out, but we tend to want to fix things that are broken. The spider will move on, or will weave it a different way, but making sure that the connections are there. So that's the most important thing, is to do your role and make those connections the way only you can do, the way only I can do.
So I am one of those people that are very scared of spiders. So when you started talking about spiders, it kind of made me uncomfortable.
Okay.
No, you're good. You're good. One of the reasons why is I grew up in Oregon, so we had black widows. It's a very traumatic experience with that. So, when you were talking about going to like family gatherings and not having the same views as like the like other family members, that's like Tyler's side of the family. Love you.
Tyler did it.
But his cousin's, well, I guess it's his second cousin, her birthday is like a couple weeks before our oldest Harry's birthday. And so we were over at their house, and it's in like September, like the beginning of September. And so we were over there, it was like a couple years ago, and his cousin and his grandpa, and I think his uncle maybe, very like right-wing conservative, like very right-wing. We were sitting there and it was pouring down rain, and they're like, man, it usually doesn't rain in September. Like, it never rains around this. I wonder what's going on. Tyler goes to me, he goes, sounds like climate change, maybe, like, and they don't believe in that at all. And it was just like one of those, like, if you say that to them, they're like, go up in arms, like, what? Mm. That's crazy. No, that's not, like, all this stuff. Like, if it was just kind of, it's just kind of interesting. Like, you just don't say that stuff around them, because it's like, it's unheard of. Like, we're the weird people in the family, because we believe in that kind of things. Like, we have an electric car, and we're weird because we come in with our electric car. So it's just interesting.
That's really hard to connect with people who have such opposite beliefs, and really hurts. It hurts.
Like Kelsey, I am not fond of spiders. It almost sounds blasphemous now with this conversation.
Yes.
But I could say hate, but I won't say that. But I remember when I was younger, I was so scared of them that my brothers used to make fun of me because they could hear me in the shower screaming and throwing things around. It's like, oh, Sue's trying to fight a spider in the shower. And I usually got them. I always got them. But, flamethrower. But I got it in my car. I'll just bring it in here. I did notice, I mean, I can't say I've changed my mind from this conversation, but I don't kill them. My first reaction is not just to kill them. And I noticed the other day that there was a spider web like on my back deck, so that's okay because it's outside. And I was so amazed by the strength of it, you know, like, it was raining really hard, mm-hmm. and then when it stopped raining, it was still there, and the wind and everything. So, yeah, that's kind of the dichotomy, right? It's fragile, mm-hmm. but it's also very strong. And that's totally what I feel about this church, for sure.
Yeah.
Does anyone have one last thought on the topic? Annie?
I participated in a panel where I talked about Unitarian Universalism related to Christianity. And to do that, I needed to learn a lot of history of UU. So there was really no formal Unitarian church until early to mid-1800s. And at that time, most of the what we now call Unitarians were Congregationalists. Well, the Unitarian or the Congregationalists were not real happy with the Unitarians because they didn't believe all the same things the others did. In fact, they were using the term, calling them Unitarians as an insult. And then in the late 1800s, they just turned around and wrote some stuff up and did some sermons claiming the term. So that was kind of fun. But the whole thing that it comes back to is, for us, it's not about your theology. It's about your actions. How do you act in the world? How do you help people? How do you connect to people? And the reason they were able to so effectively ignore the Congregationalists is because they didn't care what they thought they believed. So I thought that was an interesting bit of our history.
And I would add, as a Congregationalist, my whole life, Baptists are Congregationalist, and then I found the UCC and the UU and did all that together and then landed in the UCC. Is the UCC, in my progressive part of it, doesn't care what people believe either. I mean, it's just your actions and how can we come together for justice, for eco-justice, for environmental caring of the environment. These are all things that I hold dear and feel comfortable in both congregations. UU and UCC.
I love to talk about theologies. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Right. I'm not trying to change you.
This is another thought that I had that started when you mentioned the Weeping Buddha and how strong he was, but it's also related to the web and the connection between UU and Christianity and this, for all of the faults of my parents' theology, I was raised fundamentalist, like Baptist, Southern Baptist.
My brother.
Yeah. And I love my parents. They're great people, but they're also very right-wing, and that made my trip to visit them difficult because it's kind of unavoidable to talk about what's going on in the world right now, and also just to talk about religion because my mom was trying to tell me, like, I love you, but because you don't believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, you are going to go to hell. And that's just...
I'll never see you again.
Yeah, exactly. And I understand her, like, fear for that, because, like, she's telling me that because she loves me, but it's hard because I'm like, I don't believe that Jesus actually believed that. My point is, again, for all the faults, my dad always understood Jesus to be like that weeping Buddha and that strong defender who would flip the tables of the money changers but would also defend the prostitute and welcome the children to him, and this dichotomy of the strength and the vulnerability that is so important to just being human. I do think that there is a big cultural push in art, at least, and particularly in music, and particularly in hip hop, to show like that vulnerability along with the toughness. And there's, in particular, rapper, I believe the best ever, named Kendrick Lamar, who made an album that is all about his journey through therapy, I'll censor the line for politeness, but in a recent feature that he did on another song, he has a line that says, "Therapy showed me how to open up. It also showed me I don't give a crap." that is cool now. Like, that is being, like, young people my age and younger are recognizing the importance of that, even divorced from the religious context of it. I do think that that bodes well for the future of my generation and Gen Alpha and Gen Beta, and I think we're going in the right direction. We just have to keep trying.
Sounds like hope.
Yeah.